Many hours have gone into the preparation of what has just been presented to you by our elders. I know personally that the elders have met for several weeks, an additional time each week, in order to prepare this budget, and not only the budget, but to prepare ways of accomplishing each area involving the deacons and the ministers and all of us in each of these areas of work. And I appreciate two things about that they are so dedicated to putting in the time to prepare, and also that they communicate with the congregation in presentations like this one this morning. I probably get, within a week's time, around 100 bulletins from churches all over the United States. I am not aware of another congregation that has the history that this congregation has for the last several years relative to meeting the challenges that are placed before us. I get some bulletins where the congregation is behind $20,000 or $30,000 for the year. And every year, I believe this is the 12th budget that's been presented to the congregation since I've been here. Every year, we not only have been able to increase our challenges, but we have gone beyond those challenges. We have given more than the budget every year, of which I'm aware. And I'm not aware of another congregation. I could not take you to another congregation today that has done that. And I think the congregation is to be commended for what we have accomplished. You have just been presented a page with our budget for next year on it. There's a tremendous amount involved in that page. And as we unfold our work during the year and we see the different programs of work, you're going to realize just how much this represents. But that's, in my opinion, is not the most important side of the page that you've received this morning. Turn it over. The other side is more important than our budget. At least, I think it is. I will guarantee you, and I can't say that like the old Cajun does, but I will guarantee you that we will go above our budget for this year if we understand and apply what is on the other side of the page. That $9,600 figure is not the most important figure to me. Now, I'm going to be talking about that figure, and the elders will be through the year, and it's important to us. But a figure that I have on this sheet is more important to me than that figure, because this is the sheet that I have prepared, as I do every year, where I set my own personal goal and date it and add up how much I should have given by each Sunday during the year, and then keep a record of what I give so at any time I know what I have given. I believe that's scriptural. I believe the Bible teaches that. And I'll guarantee you, if every one of us will take this sheet, first part of it just reminds us of some of the principles. The next paragraph has to do with looking back at 1998. The next paragraph, looking at 1999. And then at the bottom, a verse that is tremendously important as far as our attitudes are concerned. But if I could get every member this morning just to promise me, I will take the time to sit down and look at my income and look at my giving, I'll guarantee you again that the contribution will take care of itself. I think sometimes, as I've indicated in the last week or two, that we allow ourselves to be caught up with the total of what we're doing and forget that God is looking at us as individuals. The total is important. God set up the work of a congregation. It is scriptural that we plan ahead. I think you'll find in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians the pattern that is exactly what's being presented today. Looking ahead a year at a time, twice at least in those two chapters. He says you were forward a year ago. You were thinking about this a year ago. I believe what has happened in looking at our budget as a congregation is exactly scriptural. It's my understanding that God wants us to work through a congregation. Even when I'm gone in gospel meetings, I do not take my contribution there. I leave it or bring it back here because I am committed to the work here. I believe this is where God wants me to give. Now, sometimes I may be able to give extra and I help in other ways, other places. But I believe that in the congregational idea, that that's scriptural, that that's the way God wants it to be. Now, in order to help us to look at this as individuals, I want to emphasize basically one verse of Scripture this morning. It's a verse that most of you could quote in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And I'm convinced that if we can understand what is in this one verse, that I probably won't even need to preach on the subject of giving during 1999 for us to accomplish the challenge that's put before us. He says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I really think the totality of what the Bible says about the subject of giving is summed up in that verse. Notice first he says, let each one. I just cannot overemphasize that enough. When we have our special fifth Sundays, if just 8 or 10 families give extra, we won't accomplish it. But if 350 families give extra, look what we'll do. And our increase in the budget for the new year, I believe, is a little less than 5%, Barry. If every member of the congregation increases just a little, and I know it's harder for some than others. I've been at that point when we had 4 preschoolers. I've been at that point when we had 4 teenagers. I've been at that point when I didn't buy anything without calling Judy to see if we had enough to buy anything. Or she would call me. And I know it's more difficult for some of us than others. But if each one of us will accept the challenge, that's where the answer is. Let me share with you 2 things that I wish I could tell you the names, but I won't. One of our older widows who is shut in, and I think probably was not able to attend the services during the entire year of 1998, sends a check to me at the first of every month. I would guess, I can't prove this and don't want to, I would guess that when she receives her monthly Social Security check or income, that she sits down and writes out a check probably for 10% at least of that and sends it to go into our contribution. 12 times this last year, I've dropped a check like that in the contribution. 2 weeks ago, I visited another of our widows who'd been in the hospital for weeks. And when I visited with her, she was still under oxygen at home. One of the first things she said to me when I sat down in her home was, take this, and she handed me a roll of bills. Take this and put it in. I haven't been able to give any in contribution for several weeks. And the bill on the outside was a rather large bill. Several of them rolled together. Now, I'll guarantee you that if all of us will have the attitude of those 2 widows in the congregation, that we will go well beyond the figure that has been presented. Then he says, what I've been talking about for the last 5 minutes. He says, let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. What I drop in this morning at the service is not as important as what I have done to plan for that the week before, and maybe even longer than that. And that says something else that's important, that I don't have the right nor the responsibility to tell you what to give or you to tell me what to give. Under the old law, the patriarchal law, it was specified 10%. Under the Mosaic law, probably as much as 33 1/3%, maybe more. Under the new law, we're not given a percentage or a specific amount. And I think God did that on purpose, to challenge us to put some thought to it. And I believe that it is a commandment here. Not a commandment of a percentage, not a commandment of an amount, but a commandment to plan. A commandment to purpose. And that's why I say this side that will help you to to look at yourself may be more important than the other side. As he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. I hope I never drop into the plate something and wish I could keep it at the time that I'm dropping it in. Not grudgingly. When our kids were teenagers, we tried to teach them to give. And I think we were able to do it. One of the principles that we used was give till it hurts and then give a little more till it feels good. I remember our son saying one time, I've arrived at that first level. I think there's something to that. Sacrifice. But sacrifice about which we feel good. Not of necessity. Don't ever ask me, do I have to attend the services? And don't ask me, do I have to give? That's not the question. It's not of necessity. Oh, there are the needs there. True, those needs have been presented. That's the way God expects it to be met. But he says our giving ought not be just for the needs. He says it ought to be out of a cheerful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. It's my understanding that that word that cheerful is translated from, in the original language, means hilarious. Sometimes something happens that it just tickles us to death, the way we say it. We really feel good. We laugh. We feel good because something causes us to be cheerful. He says our giving ought to be that way. And that reminds me of that verse where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder if we've come to really believe that. I wonder if I really believe that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm not just talking about the money. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about effort. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's another verse in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, just a few verses before the one that I've read, that includes in the middle of it a statement that may be the bottom line to everything that we're saying. And by the way, the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians were written about the subject of laying by in store and giving to be ready to take care of the needs that were there, and even doing it a year ahead of time. Right in the middle of 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, he says this, they first gave themselves to the Lord. When Judy and I got married, she didn't ask how much I expected to make. If she had, she probably wouldn't have married me. We didn't talk about finances for the next few years a great deal. But when I committed myself to my wife, I committed everything I had. She committed everything to me. I believe when I became a Christian in 1953 and married Christ, that in a sense, I committed everything I have to him. They first gave themselves. Again, I'll guarantee you, that if we will all give ourselves to the Lord to live for him, that our giving will take care of itself. When we really give ourselves to the Lord. And that makes the Lord's invitation just a little bit more meaningful. Because you see, when we're encouraging people to come and be baptized into Christ, we're encouraging them, give your life to Christ and live for him. When we encourage people who've gone astray to come back and be restored, we're encouraging them to come back and give your life to Christ. First, give yourself to the Lord. And if you'll do two things, if you'll try to do what's scriptural, and you'll put some time to thinking about it, if you really give yourself to the Lord, the rest of it will fit in. And so the bottom line of it all is not dollars. It's not cents. C-E-N-T-S. It's S-E-N-S-E. Having enough common sense to realize how much we need Christ and how much he wants us. And so if you're not a Christian, a faithful Christian, more important than anything else that we've said this morning, all the other is just a means to an end. The end is, you need to be ready to go to heaven, and if you're not, come as together we stand and sing.
Oh, Jesus, I surrender all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.